saved you. I tell you, I've never let loose of that. Kids, you got to understand something. I'm so thankful that we've got a good group of teenagers in here today, because I'm going to talk to you about destroying the future. And you might think, well, that sounds like a terrible message. Understand this. We're destroying our future. We have some semblance of control. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you, but teenagers, I want you to understand something. I don't care what's out there. And I was so excited. This young man right here, come here. Come here, son. This young man right here talked about that blue bike for 72 hours solid. He got on the bus and he said, I want to win that blue bike. And you know, there's a story like this every year, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed that, but there's a story like this every year. And this young man kept saying every day, but I'd like to win that blue bike. I heard him say it. You said that, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Guess what bike he won? See, what's amazing to me is this. As great as that is, and it's easy to see the hand of God there. God did that for you, son. God did that for you. That wasn't, I'm glad somebody brought the bike in, but the Lord moved them to bring in the bike. The Lord moved us to go drive the bus. The Lord moved you to get on it. Because of all those things, the Lord moved Brother Bob's hand and picked out your name. And then you moved once you got your name picked. And as great as all that is, and I want them to see that. I want kids to see the hand of God. You know what the sad thing is with us? We're destroying our future, Brother Josh, because we don't show them. We don't show them because we don't see it. See, I waited. I'm going to tell you, I almost told you, get ready to win the blue bike today. I did, honest to goodness, I did. I almost told him, look, son, you're going to win the blue bike, because I just the Lord, importunity was what he was using. I don't know if you know what that means. That means begging. He's been begging God, whether he knows it or not, but he's been begging God, and God gave it to him. Amen. You must understand, son, I want him to know that, because there is a generation that's coming. It's breaking my heart. There's a generation that's coming that we have not told. No, you need to hear this, adults. We have not told them. Do you know why teenagers act up during church and act the fool? And you know why they're disrespectful in church? Not that you are. I'm not saying any of you are. You're doing great right now. You must understand something. The reason that they're that way is because we haven't told them. We haven't taught them. We haven't showed them. I told you I was the oldest 41-year-old you're ever going to meet. You haven't told the generation following you the way you ought to act, the way you ought to think, the things that God does. We can't buy into the society's teaching today that everything's all right. Amen. It's not all right. You say, well, I'll just accept people as they come. Glory to God, I think you ought to, and then teach them right. Yep. See, that's what we're missing. You say, well, I ought to just let all the homosexual crowd come in, sit among us, get married and everything else. No, we ought to let them come in, sit among us, teach them right. Yeah. Teach them what the Bible says. Not that we have a corner on knowledge, but God does. And what we're missing in this generation today, we're destroying our future. We're destroying our future by not introducing them to Jesus Christ. We're destroying our future by not introducing them which is right. We're destroying our future because we're deciding what is right and wrong. We're buying into the philosophy of the intellectual crowd. We're buying into the philosophy of those that we believe are smarter. We're buying into the philosophy of the big mega church thought. We're buying into the philosophy, and we're letting Jesus Christ become diluted. I want you to stand with me and read in Proverbs chapter 30. Won't make you stand up anymore, I promise. I did like that one song that they sang. They left their Bible on the bus. Stand up, sit down. Every time the word B comes along, I love that. I think we should do that in adult Sunday school. We'd hear all the creaking of the joints. Sound like Rice Krispies in here. Yeah, amen, bro. I'm with you, man. I'd be winded after the third word. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. For, you know what I'm going to do first? I want you to see this first. I find this dazzling. If you look at verse 5, every word of God is pure. Now, I know you think that I hit that too much, but as long as I've got breath, I'm going to be hitting that. As long as I've got breath, I'm going to be tackling this King James Bible and taking it with me wherever I go. And I'm going to be preaching it everywhere I go. And I'm going to be denouncing those that preach against it. I'm going to be denouncing those that put a question mark after it. That's the way it's going to be. Why? Because every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Look at this now. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Look at this. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Would to God America grab a hold of this. Lest I be full and deny thee. I don't ever want to deny Christ because I've got too much. And say, who is the Lord? Listen to me now. You need to see these verses. We're destroying our future. Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. Look at these verses now. There is a generation. There is a generation that curse their father and doth not bless their mother. We're in it. We're in it. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. There is a generation, and we are letting it happen. Amen. Mike Sells, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Bring up our pastor, Lord. Yes. God, speak through Brother Dave, through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Be with Pastor David. We can receive something from the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. It's amazing to me how frightening those four verses are. It's amazing to me that we're going to make a whole generation of people. What saddened my heart was this. I was in the preacher's office counting up the decision slips. And I tell you, it brings a lump into my throat every time I see little kid decision slips come up. It really does. I've had people tell me, and I hope you get out of this attitude as fast as possible. I've had people tell me, how can a kid be saved? I'm going to tell you, I hope you get out of that attitude fast. Because first of all, let me give you first. Number one, it's none of your business. It's God's business. I love how people question salvation. How in the world did that kid know anything about salvation? Maybe he didn't, but it's not your job. He came forward. Maybe he only came forward to get cookies. So what? He's coming forward and coming forward and coming forward. And glory to God, we had 47 decision slips downstairs where children said, Jesus, come into my heart. Amen. What would you like to do? Kids, you're too young. Don't come forward. Are you nuts? I would to God I was saved at 5 years old. I would to God I was saved at 4 years old. How old are you, honey? You know the Lord is your Savior. 11 years old knows the Lord is their Savior. Isn't that awesome? The kid is in this room right now, starting out life, knowing the Lord now. What you must understand is, why do we do VBS? I'll tell you why we do VBS. I don't want to destroy the future. I want to build the future. Why do we give away toys? Because we want kids to come. Because I don't want the future to be destroyed. I want more kids that know about Christ tomorrow than do today. I want more folks that hear about Jesus Christ tomorrow than heard about Him today. I want this young man to win a bike. Don't misread me. But I want him to hear about the wonderful name of Jesus Christ so I don't have to have his name marked on a slip. I don't know much about Christ. We're making a generation that doesn't know the song Amazing Grace. I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you go to, almost everybody in the whole wide world knows Amazing Grace. But we're coming to a generation. I talked to a kid this year, never had it before, and I tell you, it threw me. 7 years old, I asked. 7 years old. I said, have you ever heard of Jonah? No. Okay. Jonah, minor prophet, right? Pretty important story in the scripture, though. Swallowed by a whale. Usually that gets taught somewhere. How about Moses? No. Listen to me, folks. The next one threw me. I had to ask, I had to quiz him. I couldn't believe he, I thought maybe he was lying to me. I said, Brother Mike, I said to him, son, have you heard of Jesus Christ? He said, is that a person? I've heard the name, but I didn't know what it was about. We're in America, folks. Are you telling me that there's a generation in America that has not heard the name of Jesus Christ? Do you know why everything else is going on in this nation right now? And I'm not going to sit on that and preach that. I think I get so tired of hearing about that all the time. But you know why it's happening? Because we're raising a generation that don't know Christ. I want to show you something. This staggered me. See, we're in the generation right now of children that are cursing their parents. You know what, Brother Bobby? I'm going to park there for a minute. I hope you don't mind. Don't you dare let me hear you curse your mom in front of me. Your mama didn't have an abortion. You're proof. Well, you can get mad at me all you want to, but you must understand something, teenager. You better not curse your mama. Don't curse your daddy. And you say, well, I don't have a daddy. You know what? I know. You've been. I know it's rough, but you know what? You should have character enough to raise yourself right. Listen, don't you buy into the teenage philosophy that because they had a bad household, they have to grow up bad. You make your own decisions. You need to hear this, teenager. You make your own decisions on what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. You make the decision on whether you drink the alcohol. You make the decision on whether you have the sex out of wedlock. You make the decision on what you turn out to be. You make it. Nobody makes it for you. You make your own decision. Don't you go blaming somebody else. Don't you expect somebody to bail you out. Let me explain something to you, children. You better know Jesus Christ, and you better get inside of His Word, because that's where you're going to find out where the good life is. That's where you're going to find out where the right life is. It may not line up with popular society, but I got to be honest with you. I'm excited about not lining up with popular society, because there's going to be a day that I'm in heaven. Ain't going to be no popular society up there.
Amen. Amen.
I'm a little tired of hearing kids saying, the government owes me something. Nobody owes you anything, Jack. You're in the greatest country in the whole wide world. Get right and do something for God. Boy, this ain't popular. Nobody's saying amen now. We act like God owes us something. God doesn't owe you anything. What does God owe you? What does God? I'm just the associate pastor. You ought not scold the people. I'm not scolding you. I'm getting you to think. God doesn't owe you anything. He died for you. I'm going to tell you right now. We ought to live for Him a little.
Amen.
There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. For 10 years, I couldn't be with my mama. 10 years. If you've got your mama at home, you need to run and hug her neck. 10 years. Many of the folks in here don't have their mamas at all because they've died. If you've got a mama at home, you better run and hug her neck. What happened when you were birth to about 5? Did you make your own macaroni and cheese? Huh? Did you heat up your own bottle? You know where I'm going next, don't you? Did you change your own dirtiness? Somebody was there. If it wasn't your mom, it was your aunt, your uncle, your family. Some of you teenagers, Brother Dave's changed your diapers. Deal with that. You think I haven't? I work in a nursery. Hey, listen to me now. You think for 1 minute. Let me tell you something. You're not owed anything. Your mom and daddy brought you into this world by the sweat of their brow and the strength of their back and sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you something. Kids cost a lot. I got 3 of them. I've been broke ever since. Hey, I'm going to tell you, ever since I've had kids, I don't even know what broke is anymore. It's just a way of life. I'm very thankful I've got kids that love me. Do you know why? I'd hate to murder them. We're raising a generation of people who don't love their mom and daddy. And let me tell you something. The generation that stopped, I hate to use the word revering their parents, but at least honoring their parents. That generation that left behind and didn't, I'm going to tell you, let me tell you a story. I got kicked out of the house when I was about 15, 16 years old. Kicked out. Can you believe that? Me. I'm a good kid. Kicked out at 15, 16 years. You know why? Because I thought I knew better than my daddy. That's what I said too. One day I came home. My dad and I used to fight all the time. Don't ever fight your daddy. Let me help you. Don't ever fight your daddy. Don't ever think about fighting your daddy. First of all, you're going to get beat up. I'm looking at the crowd here. You're going to get beat up. Second of all, your dad deserves your respect no matter how bad he is. He's your daddy. You need to honor him. 15 years old. I was coming home drunk every night. 15. You think you got bad kids. Should have lived with me. My dad was funny. My dad doesn't even remember any of this. He puts it in the back of his mind. I don't know how he doesn't. But he always brags to people how good of a kid I was. Maybe it was because I was out of the house that he thought I was good. And one day, I'll never forget, I told my dad, and I wish I could take these words back. I told my dad, old man, let's go outside. Let's settle this. Settle it. Brother Mike, settle it. Come on now. What am I going to settle? What am I going to settle at 15 years old? What am I going to settle? And if I do win, then what? Come on, kids, think with me a little bit. Then what? You beat up your dad. What a big, tough guy you are. My dad says, you know what, son? My dad's never yelled. I've never heard my dad even raise his voice. Very meek man. He says, all right, let's go. I thought, man, glory to God. In the back of my mind, I thought I could take him. I'm tougher than you think. So I walk through the house stomping. You know how kids stomp. You ever seen your kids stomp? Doesn't it make you want to get up out of your chair when you see them stomp? I very seldom do get up out of my chair, but it makes me want to get up out of my chair. I stomping out of the house. I got to the door, and I opened the door, threw it open. I walked outside. I'm ready. My dad is so kind. Merciful. Honestly, he is. He shut the door behind me and locked it. Looking back, that was mercy. You may not think so, but that was mercy. Because he might have brought a tire iron out or something. I came up to the door. What's wrong with you? He looked through the curtain like this. Shut the curtain and walk back in the house. Understand, the place that I lived, houses were a mile apart exactly. Everything was set on a grid for farming. And the houses were a mile apart. Every one of my neighbors knew me. Every one of my neighbors had a friend almost my age. I figured I'd just go next door. So I walked next door. You know what? As fast as I could walk, the phone is faster. My dad called and told Mr. Hooker, that was his name, Jack Hooker's dad, Mr. Hooker, do not let my son in the house. I'm teaching him a lesson, and I want to make sure he learns it. You know, you parents, first of all, your parents, don't be afraid to teach your kid a lesson. You spare not the rod. The child's not going to die. My child could do nothing wrong. My child's perfect and precious and wonderful. My child's an angel. Your child's a sinner. The minute you think your child's perfect is the minute they end up not perfect. Your child's a sinner. And if they do wrong, don't be afraid to tell them they did wrong. And kids, if you get told you did wrong, you get grounded, you get told to clean up your house, and you get whacked in the hind end, I'm going to tell you right now, that's what mom and daddy should have done to you. all the time. My mom and daddy beat me. Where? On my hind end. That's not beating, that's teaching. Somebody say amen this morning. I know that's not popular preaching with the new Dr. Spock crowd. I know that's not popular preaching with you time out people. But understand this, I get mad, I can't count to three. As long as it takes me to get my belt off is as much time as they have. You can get mad at me all you want to, but understand this. The Bible says, spare not the rod. The Bible says, spare not the rod. So you can spare what you're going to tell me about not spanking my children. I'll take the Bible over you. That's good preaching. I think I'll amen myself. Amen. But something saddens my heart. I want you to turn over to 2 Kings. In understanding that this king is listed as a great king. This king is listed as a godly king. This king's name is Hezekiah. And I want you to see something. This is frightening to me, and this is the day that we live in right now. This is the day that, and I'm gonna pick on you old folks for a minute. No, I'm nice. Hold on now. I'm not no pit bull, Marie. You don't need to be afraid. I'm going to pick on you only because your mouth has been shut too long. No, seriously. Old people, we need you. Now, I'm going to walk back to where you sit because it's too far to walk all the way to the front. I know that. Old people, we need you. And the reason I'm telling you this is because you've got something that we don't. You got time under your belt. You've seen things that we haven't seen. Why did my grandmother save the last sliver of soap in the soap cake to put it in this special little tool that'll mash together all the little slivers of soap to do what? To make a new bar of soap. Why do I need my grandmother's teaching? Because she lived through a place that I didn't live through. It was a place called a depression. We live in a place right now as a disposable society. We use it once and throw it out. I'm going to tell you right now, the old folks, they've never used anything once. Even paper towels. Yeah, you're thinking, yeah, why would you use a paper towel once? I watched my grandmother wring out a Bounty for a week. Keep drying it out. Hey, that's still got some life in it. They lived through something that we didn't live through. And I got to be honest with you, if the electric goes out, I hope and pray I'm close to somebody old. Because they know how to live without electric. Think about your life. I want you to think. I'm not having fun here today. I want you to think. What would happen, children, if the power goes out? I know what you'll be doing. The power goes out. Now what? I would open up the refrigerator, but you're going to lose your food soon. Now what? Come on. You see, kids are like, it'll never happen. It happened the other night. We lost power for 5 hours. What would happen if Ravenna went out of power for 3 days? We'd have a bunch of kids walking around. I've had nothing to eat for 3 days. We're making a generation of people that don't know right from wrong. We're making a generation of people that believe they're owed these things. We're making a generation of people where old people, you got to tell us, you got to teach us. Don't go off the scene. Give us what you got. Look at what this says. Hezekiah, I'm going to introduce a little bit about the front of him. In chapter 20, verse 1, in those days Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That'd be a wonderful message from the preacher, wouldn't it? Hey, I'm come to visit. Guess what? Set your house in order, you're going to die and not live. How would you like to have Pastor Skyver come tell you that? I may not be in church this Sunday, preacher. What would you do? Look what he does. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth. Look at this. And with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. It came to pass, he gets more years added onto his life. The Lord grants him more years. Okay? Wouldn't you be excited about that? That would be exciting to me. To the Lord to grant me more years. He's followed him in truth. He's done that which is right. Did you not read that with me? Hezekiah was listed as a good king of Judah. I want to show you something. Look at this now. I want you to look down at verse 14 in chapter 20. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. People from Babylon came to see King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah took them through the country and showed them everything. Everything. These are sinful people which are not supposed to be in there. And he took them through and showed them everything, every last thing, inside the Lord's house, his house, every part of the country. He showed off everything like he was something. Look at this. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons, listen to this now. He gets the treasure gone, right? Did you not just read that? The treasure's gone. The place has been emptied out of all the treasure things. Look at this now. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, his sons, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The reason that they become eunuchs is because he's saying your seed is going to stop with you. His kids are no longer going to be able to have kids. Back in Bible times, having children was like having riches. Having children was the greatest blessing ever. If you couldn't have kids, you had evil on you. It was, if you had children, you were something special. He was saying, your children will no longer be able to have children. The word of God came to him to say this. Look at his answer. Before he was sick unto death, right? He prayed to God, wept sore. Do you remember that? I just read it to you. Look at this. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good. Look at this now. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? I'm 41. I may have more years behind me than I have in front of me now. As crazy as that sounds. I used to think 41 was old. Now it's very young. Hezekiah made a statement here that rips my heart out. Isn't it good that we can have church today if we don't have it tomorrow? As long as we have it today. Why or how are we destroying our future? Because these kids don't know. How are we destroying our future? I don't want my daughter to grow up not knowing. I'm talking right. Right, right. I'm not talking world right. I'm not talking the wonderful coexist stickers on the back of people's cars now that make me want to throw up. Amen. Hope and pray you don't have, if you have one of those, you better genie it off the back of your car. Talk to God when he comes back about coexisting. Talk to God when he comes back about Allah. Talk to you. Oh, did you mention Allah? Let me tell you something. That thing over there is taking more people to hell than you can even imagine today. There's only one way. That way is through Jesus Christ. Well, it's the same. Allah God, it's the same. It's not the same. And I don't want my generation after me to grow up and say, oh, it's good enough that I preach it in my generation. I want preachers to come up behind me at 41 years old. I want a generation to come up behind me that knows Jesus Christ. I want a generation that comes up behind me that knows that the King James Bible is a pure, perfect, inspired word of God sent to us from God so we could know all about him. Amen. I want a generation to know it. I want a generation to hold it. I want a generation to have the truth. I'm not willing, as King Hezekiah was, I'm not willing to let the next generation come and not know Christ. I'm not willing to coexist. Amen. We're raising a bunch of kids that are going to go and preach people into hell. Yeah. Yeah. You think the Joel Osteen crowd's going to run right up to heaven? Yeah. I'm just ornery this morning, ain't I? You know what bothers me is I had VBS kids that said he didn't know who Christ was. Wow. I'm not willing. I'm not willing, son, to give you a bike and not give you Christ. Give me five. I'm not willing. I'm not willing to keep my mouth shut to make people happy. When somebody comes out and says the Bible's not inspired, people got mad at me because I said who it was. Guess who it was? It was Dr. Jack Scott. Get mad at me if you want to, but he's wrong. He's wrong. Here I am walking back into the back now. Among the people that want to sit in the back, stay out of the spit zone. I'm not willing to have a generation to follow behind me that don't know that that Bible's inspired, that don't know that that Bible's quick and powerful, that don't know that that Bible's lively oracles. I'm not willing, because I'm going to tell you what, Brother Mike Timms, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Don't tell me you got faith somewhere else. Don't tell me, because I want a generation to come up behind me that wants to get inside that Bible to find out that which is right. Don't expect to get right from a man's mouth. Don't expect it. Don't expect to get right from a man's mouth, even my mouth. Don't expect it. You want to find out what's right? Get in this book. There is a generation. There is a generation that curses their mother and father. Why? Why, Miss Annie? Why does that generation curse their father and mother? Because they didn't get in the Bible and read that we're supposed to honor our father and mother. Where do we find right? We find right contained in the pages herein. Where do we find right? We find right from the pulpits across America of your pure, perfect, inspired Word of God preachers. That's where we find right. And I'm not willing to destroy my future and tuck tail so we can be more comfortable in here. I'm not willing to take away from our church service and have guitars and rock bands up there so you can feel better about coming to church. I'm not willing to have coffee out in the foyer so we can bring more people in to tell you all about good and never about sin. I'm not willing to destroy my future. Do you know why people stop getting saved? Because we stop talking about the truth. See, here's what's sad. A preacher finally gets on national TV and is confronted by one of the most well-known idiot talk show hosts ever. He's confronted and says, well, what about this hell thing? And he didn't answer. That was your time to shine, pal. What do you preach? Hell is real. Yes. Hell, let me tell you about hell. Hell is a place that burns with fire and torment. And if you go there, you stay there. Right. You don't get out. There's no buckets of water laying around. You can get a drink and a suntan. It's a place called hell that the worm dieth not. You go there, you stay there. But we don't have preachers preaching the truth that Jesus Christ climbed the hill to Calvary and died on the cross and shed his blood for you. We got preachers like, just be a good person. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Just be righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. Strike two. You still got an at bat left? Pick up where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Pick up that at bat and get a home run every time. Amen. I'm not willing to let the next generation come and not know the truth. People get mad at me all the time. Well, you preach so hard against the Sodomites. Nobody in this room has more reason to preach against it than I do. I'm against it. That's sin, man. Talk about, we're raising a generation though. Come on, think with me now. I hope I'm not boring you. We're raising a generation today that thinks it's an alternative lifestyle.
That's right.
It's not an alternative lifestyle, it's sin. It's not all, I'm telling you right now, if you don't get oogie when you get around those people, you're crazy. I don't want to be around them. You say, oh, well, you're just homophobic. You bet I am. I don't want no part of that. I want to tell them about Christ so they get saved and then go and read Romans chapter 1.
Amen.
But we got preachers that won't preach on it because they get people that write them letters. Write a letter to me and know I'm doing my job. I've got to tell you truth because I want there to be a generation that knows right. I want there to be a generation. Listen, these kids from VBS, we find every single year another kid that went to VBS 20 years ago. I know, is the same preacher there, the okie dokie preacher? Is the same preacher there, the one that got his face on the Baptist books? Yeah. And he's still preaching truth. Here's what's sad. You folks don't think, well, you know what, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. There are folks that don't think a church can be built on right. Let me give you a help. A church can't be built on wrong.
Amen. Amen.
There's lots of places that are filled with people listening to a whack job pasty-faced blinker that thinks that they're in the right place. I'm as the scripture is my authority, they're not in the right place. See, what you got to understand is this. You've come to a place this morning that wants people to have truth. Why is our generation in such a mess? Because we've got preachers that are willing to say, is it not good enough that it's in my generation? Is it not good enough? I'm so thankful that it's quiet in here this morning. It's not good enough. It's not good enough I'm not willing to sacrifice my sons and daughters and tuck tail on this book. I'm not willing to tuck tail on Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not willing to give in to the everybody's all right philosophy. Because I'm going to tell you something. And this isn't popular, but not everybody is a child of God.
That's right.
The Bible says that you're a child of God by what? Faith in what? Christ Jesus. I can't change that. That's what the Bible says. But we don't have meant, we've come to a point in our ministries where we're so interested in filling pews that we're willing to tuck the Bible behind it and just pick daily bread readings and bring up here and get some pastor what's his fuss with silk breeches to come up here and read something to you, a nice little poem and a thought, and then have a couple of songs and a nice special, and then have you walk out the door not getting anything more than when you came in. Listen, there was a day that Billy Sunday stood up and went, sin is wrong. There was a day that Billy Sunday went up and said, hey, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. I'm going to tell you, there's a day that this country chose prohibition.
That's right.
Just because we repealed it doesn't make drinking right. Say amen this morning to me. Amen. Listen to me now. Don't sit there. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the children of alcoholics want the mom and daddy to be alcoholic? No. Boy, I'm hitting everybody this morning, ain't I, Brother Bobby? You live in a house of an alcoholic. You wish they weren't.
That's right.
They don't make good drunks.
No.
Destroys lives.
Right.
Eats up paychecks.
Yeah.
Kills children.
Yeah.
Robs people of childhood.
Right.
Robs men of life. And we're supposed to stand up here and say, well, it's okay as long as you drink in moderation. Bo Lagna.
Amen.
That's German for baloney. We are living in a society that's lost truth, and we are living in the past generations have said, it's good enough that I had it in mine. Let my children go out. I'm not willing to let Natalie go out. I'm not. Get mad at me all you want to, and I'm going to tell you, she may rebel against me someday. She may rebel and say, Daddy, I don't want your religion. Daddy, I don't want your Bible. She may go away, but she can never go away saying, I didn't tell her.
That's right.
We're of the crowd today that we'd rather give our kids over to Satan than lose them to Satan. Listen to me now. I've got parents that have told me, well, if I push them too hard, I'm going to lose them. I've made this statement a lot. I was in the youth for 10 years. I can't believe I still have hair. I told this lots of times. I'd rather lose my kid to the devil than give him. Hey, so the kid chose. Kids have to choose. I know that. I'm well aware of that. But from this daddy's mouth, they're going to hear that they have a Bible that they can go to. They're going to hear that they got a Savior that loves them. They're going to hear that they got a Savior that died for them. And they're going to hear right and wrong out of this man's mouth.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let my kid go out to 12 midnight and have no curfew just so they feel more comfortable in my house.
Right.
Well, that's good preaching. I'm not going to let my kid run my life. You parents, get a grip, man. Your kids don't have a vote.
That's right.
How are we going to have a house vote? We have a very structured society in our household, and because of that structure in our household, we have a vote. We have a vote in mind, too. I vote, it's settled. And then my wife can veto or not. You men, come on now. Hey, you men can amen to that now. You didn't amen me when I said I vote. Now you can amen when the wife has a veto. Yes, praise the Lord. We're raising a generation of children that don't know. And we're willing to accept every little pill that's forced down our throat, that's on TV, that's on the internet. I'm telling you, I'm getting to the point, and I'm getting to the point where the TV is about to go out of my house. I'm getting to the point. Because I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing good on there. I like watching sports. But you can't watch 15 minutes without seeing a naked girl on the TV. You can't go another 15 minutes without seeing alcohol. See, what's amazing to me is we're raising a generation where everything's all right. Everything's not all right. It's not all right. We say, what in the world's happened to our society? I can't leave my door unlocked anymore. You get mad at me all you want to. You stuck on a dirt road, expect not to get help. Why? Because we've left this. Why in the world is it that we can't get kids up for the bus routes in the morning? Because we got parents at home with the kids in the bus routes that won't get them up. Why? Because church ain't important. See, I'm telling truth this morning, but a lot of you will leave saying, I'm never coming back to that place. You come back a few more times and be like fungus, I'll grow on you. I want you to look at one more. Deuteronomy with a D. Deut. Sound it out. You have a choice between Deut and Daniel. Choose Deut. Raising a group of kids that can't find Deuteronomy. Chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. He gave them a command to go. And you know how it went. They didn't. Can I help you a little bit here? Keep the statutes and the judgments which I teach you. When we get over to the other end, I'm going to show you a little bit something about what's going on in the schools today. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Boy, there's that word of God again. It must be important. Neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Take God with you. Take the word of God with you. Back then they didn't have the Bible. They had the word of God out of the mouth of a prophet. And they used what the prophet said and did what the prophet said. They didn't go and ask the prophet, is that the original? They didn't go to the prophet and say, was that the correct translation? They heard what the prophet said and they did it. And if they didn't do it, they got in trouble. There's no purgatory. Ha. Throw the Catholics in there a little bit too. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You think they're saying that today when our president brings over DVDs to give to the King of England? Here's some DVDs. That sounds great. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath these that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? What has made America great? I know this is not talking about America, it's talking about Israel. But do you think that God's word only reaches to Israel? Only take heed to thyself. Here it is, rises and falls right here, folks. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Here's the challenge. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Don't hold in what you've been taught. Don't keep from the next generation what we've learned. I don't care what kind of resistance we get. I don't care how gauche it becomes. I don't care how much people come against you. I want the next generation to know the truth. And if I have to stand up on the church and shout it, that's what I'm going to have to do.
Amen.
Because the world was better when God's word was in control.
Amen.
How did we get here? And let me tell you something. Here is not as far as we're going to get. How did we get here? I believe it started with the folks that put a question mark behind what God hath said. You can stripe it any way you want to stripe it. You can say anything you want to say. Any type of question mark put behind God's word is where it begins. That question mark was first seen in Genesis, where the devil himself said, yea, hath God said. And if you're honest with yourself, you may not even know yourself what God hath said. You may not even realize that good King Hezekiah was willing to say, it can die with me. This truth can stop here. I know that you're telling me, prophet, that my sons won't have it. But that's okay. Good is the word of God. What you're telling me is just fine. I don't know about you, and I'm all done. I hope and pray that you're not willing to let truth die with you. I hope and pray that you're not willing to pass on to the next generation a shoebox full of lies. We need Jesus Christ. We need God's word. We need preachers that will spit again. We need preachers who will not tuck tail again. We need preachers that will stand up and say, thus and thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Everything I told you, I backed with Scripture here. I'm not coming to you as some man that's just foul-mouthed and can't wait to just get up here and yell. I saw a young child come through the hallways of this church and tell me that he did not know Jesus Christ. I'm not willing. I'm not willing. I'm not willing. And I would to God that you'd say the same thing. Miss Hill, don't you go anywhere. We need you. We need the truth that you know. Miss Davis, don't you go nowhere. Your son needs the truth that you know. A lot. Listen, I need the truth that you know.
Amen.
I need the truth that you know. I need the truth that you know. Because I'm not willing not to know real, true history. Not the history that they're trying to shove down your throats about General George Washington, how he was a philanderer and a terrible person. I got news for you. General George Washington was a Christian man with bullet holes in his coat because God protected him so he could bring forth a godly nation. I'm not willing to buy into the History Channel's version of what that founding father said. I'm not willing to buy into what the world's selling. I tell you what I am willing to buy into. I'm willing to buy into the truth, and I ain't willing to sell it. How are we destroying the future? We're destroying the future because we're not teaching it to our kids. We're destroying the future. I would that this old world hang around for a while. I know that sounds crazy, but I want to see more people get saved. It excites me to see 47 kids get saved. I hope and pray we got 47 preachers and preachers' wives in there, because this country needs it. Don't be willing, Bethel. Don't be willing to swallow what they're trying to sell you. Get inside this book. This is where it's going to be found, right here. Get inside this book. Buy the truth and sell it not. Get inside this. Let's see what this says. Let's see how it adds up to this. Let's see how the world philosophy adds up to this. Let's see. You get in this, the things of earth will go strangely dim.
Amen.
I'm not willing to buy what they're selling. Dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you there were generations that went before me that knew you as Savior. I'm so thankful that there were generations that were willing to continue soul winning. Continue to be saying, yea, hath God said, and telling that crowd, this is what God hath said. I'm so thankful that there's been folks that have been willing to stand the test of time, Christian martyrs, preachers that bled and sweat and died for your cause. I'll be so thankful, Lord, when I see a generation of young people come up knowing truth, because I'm not willing to let my future be destroyed. I'm not willing to let that happen. Oh God, please take control of the service. I believe the devil's trying to get in right now. The devil doesn't want any part of this. The devil wants to get these people's minds off your invitation. And Lord God, I would that you just tell him to go home right now. Lord, we need you. We need you desperately in this nation, and I would to God that the people that are in this room today under the sound of my voice understand the great responsibility that's been afforded to them, the great responsibility that rests upon their shoulders to pass on truth to the next generation. Because I'm not willing that my children grow up and not know you. I'm not willing that my children grow up. I'm going to teach it to my son, and I'm going to teach it to his son. I'm not willing. Lord, please help us. Help us to gird up, quit you like men, and go forward for Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you. I believe that this old nation still wants right. They just don't know it. I would to God that we'd start to know it again. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In those verses contains the plan of salvation. In those verses, it lets you know that Jesus has paid everything so you could claim that promise. He went to the cross and died for sinful people. He went there so when you came to the point of death in your life that you would have a place called heaven to go to. He went there to give you a choice. You can choose to go to hell. That's what's sad. You can choose to go there by not choosing Christ. Or you can choose Christ. I don't even think it's a hard decision. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is so simple. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now listen, those things are put in the scripture, and the Bible says that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. Don't believe the philosophy that you can't know, because the Bible says you can. You just have to get the Son. And if you've got the Son, you've got life. How do you get the Son? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved is not a Baptist term. I get that all the time. Saved is not a Baptist term. We use it because the Bible does. It's a Bible term. Being saved is what the Bible says you got to be. Also, born again is not a Baptist term. Verily, verily, I say to you, you must be born again. That's what the Bible says. You know why you don't know it? We're not passing it on. Dear Lord, I pray that you will have your will and way in the invitation right now. And if folks don't know you as Savior, I pray that they would come. With every head bowed and every eye closed, don't look around. How many can say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, I know for sure, I know that I know that I know that if I died right now, I would go to heaven immediately. Can you put that hand up real big and tall? All over the room, praise the Lord. In a crowd this size, you can put your hands down. In a crowd this size, I would just about bet that there was somebody that doesn't know you. There was somebody that doesn't know Jesus. I told you the truth today. You may not like it, it may not be fuzzy, but it was the truth. I can't stop the truth. The truth is the truth. You either say the truth or you don't. If you don't say the truth, you're saying lies. I'm not willing to say lies, so I'm saying truth. If I'm saying truth to you, then you must believe that Jesus Christ died for you. That's what the Bible says. Not my thought, his thought. If you don't know that you died, you can, if you don't know that if you died today that you would go to heaven, you can know. All you have to do is ask him. So how many would say, you know what? You know what, preacher? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. Please don't look around. This ain't time to play. You've been so good all the time. Don't play now. You're playing with somebody's eternity here. How many can say with an uplifted hand, you know what, preacher, I don't know, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I sure would like to pray for you. Is there one? I see that hand. Is there another? Is there another? Hey, I'm not willing to not pass the truth on to you. I'm not willing. I want you to have it. And the truth is that Jesus Christ loves you very much. The truth is that Jesus, not any of the others, Jesus died for you. Not any of the others. Jesus arose for you. He's the only one that did. He wants you to be saved. That's why he did those things. Dear Lord, I pray right now with all my heart. I pray that the ones that raised their hands to be saved, I pray that they wouldn't wait. I pray that on the invitation of this song as we stand, I would pray that they would walk out from where they are and come down to the front and let somebody lead them to Christ. I pray that. Oh, Lord, please be with us in a special way in this invitation. And, Lord, please lead. As we all stand, Brother John, what song are we on? Number 383. Let's all sing together. Please, if you need to do something at the altar, come quickly to do right.
There it is. Hello. Please bow your heads again. Listen, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I love it when folks come forward. I love it when they take that first step. But you don't have to. You can get saved right where you are. There's no proximity that you have to be. All you got to be is asking Him. So everybody's head bowed. Please don't look around. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed today. But I'm going to say a prayer. This prayer, if you'll recite it after me and believe it with your heart, it's not the prayer, it's your heart. You can get saved right where you are. And I don't think it's right to have the truth presented and not give them a chance. So here it is. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you came down to this earth and died for me. I know that you rose again for me. And Lord, though I know I'm a sinner, I know that you love me. Lord, I'm asking you the best that I know how. Please come into my heart and save me from my sin and take me to heaven when I die. Please, Lord, take me to heaven when I die. And I pray this in Jesus' name. No one looking around. How many can say, you know what, brother, I prayed that. Just now I prayed that prayer. Can you put your hand up real big and tall? There's one. There's two. Is there anyone else? There's three. Is there anyone else? There's four. Is there anyone else? Five. Is there anyone else? Six. Is there anyone else? The Lord's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. If you ask Jesus Christ to save you just now, guess what? You're saved. No man shall be able to pluck you out of His hand. No man shall be able to pluck you out of His Father's hand. You're saved, and you're saved for good. Dear Lord, I thank you for the ones that raise their hand. Lord, it does my heart so much good to see that the truth went out. Your truth, not my truth, your truth. Your word was preached today, not my word, your word. Lord, there's not one thing in this that I preach today that's not in that book. Not one thing that I can't go back to and show. I can show it. Lord God, I'm thankful that you came down today. I believe you're here today. I believe that. And Lord, I believe that you want to raise a generation of young people that know you. I believe you want to raise a generation of young people that will say no to wrong and yes to right. I believe you want to raise a generation of people that are willing to fight for the truth. The old paths, the Jeremiah 6:16 paths. Lord, help us today. Help us today to look to you in all things. And I give you the glory today. You got the glory for the ones that got saved. I counted six hands. Lord, you've got the glory for those hands today. You do. Not me. You've got the glory. Lord, be with us. Help Bethel Baptist Church to be a generation of truth givers and people that hold it, because we got a lot of folks that are walking away from it. I don't want to destroy the future. I want to make it a bright one. Lord God, help us today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've got some baptisms. Johnny, go back and get that mic on, please. The red mic. I don't know how close we are. Don't leave me, piano players. What? You're leaving now? Get your toy then. Was it a good one? What you got? Is that you? You're not Cheyenne, are you? What is it? Are you baptized? Oh, there's some. Oh, man. Hey, yeah, go check quick, because I know there's some. Okay, who we got? What's your name? Dustin. Dustin? Well, there's Dalton. You're not Dalton, are you?
No.
Dustin, yeah. Good job. Got it. Yeah, she's supposed to. Where is she? Where's Tiffy? Yeah, I'll do it. Where's Tiffy? No Tiffy? Okay, somebody go tackle Tiffy. Come lead in a song, John.
All right, let's all stand again. Turn to page number 131. A new name in glory, 131. Got your exercise for today. the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story.
Baptisms this morning, so I'm going to dismiss you in prayer. We're going to go. That was a great message today. Thank you all for coming. I hope you come back. Lord, and if Brother Dave does make it back there, make sure you shake his hand and tell me he did a good job today. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we do thank you for a place that the truth is preached. Lord, sometimes we don't like to hear the truth, but Lord, you give us the truth out of your Bible every day, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Lord, help us to take what we heard today, Lord, apply it to our lives. Lord, just bring us back again at the appointed time. Lord, bring us back tonight and also bring us back next week. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Which one's yours?
Yeah.
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 Yeah.